Indiana Bible College is committed to training tomorrow's apostolic leaders today. This is the Indiana Bible College podcast. In this episode, we'll hear from IBC student Megan Nanny as she preaches at IBC Chapel a message entitled Empty Baskets and Enable God. Before we get to her message, I want to let you know that it is not too late to apply for the spring semester. Last week, I was reviewing the calendar for spring 2019, and wow, you are going to want to be a part of this semester. IBC Live, Book Trip, Connect, which is our preview week, and a Bible quiz tournament, and we're only into March. It's going to be a great experience for every student involved. To apply for admission at Indiana Bible College, visit www.indianabiblecollege.org/admissions and then follow the steps laid out there. Be sure to do this quickly, though, because the application deadline of November 16th will be here before you know it. Now, let's listen to Megan Nanny preaching Empty Baskets and Enable God.
Good morning, everyone. So I just want to give honor where honor's due real quick and say a huge thank you to everyone that's involved in this school for Brother Mooney's vision and the Galleons and their handprint on my lives. And I loved just seeing Charlie and Becca even more up close this year and how much they truly serve you guys. And so I just want to thank you all for everything. But y'all can be seated. I'm going to be a minute. I just kind of felt it laid on me this morning. Every time when someone gets up here, not every time someone gets up here, but every year someone gets up here and gives a statistic and say, look to the right and look to your left. And they talk about people leaving here and falling away from the walk of God. And it was on my heart this summer. Me and Sister Leah Ferguson were just kind of driving through Texas and we were talking about that. And I don't believe that that has to happen, you know? And I believe that sometimes I've accidentally done it where I get in a stage and I see someone mess up and I'm just kind of like, well, I guess they're that one. And that's so wrong, but that's just the carnal side of me, I guess. But you think that. But right now, we can just start praying for people before we ever leave school. You know, we don't have to leave here and be like, well, they're fine while they're at IBC, but I'll start praying for them when they leave. But it's nothing light. When people fall away from the Lord, it truly changes their entire life, their entire eternity. So that was just kind of on my heart this morning, and I felt like while I had the opportunity to say it, I would. But we really need to bind together, and I've been feeling that. We need to bind together and just pray for one another, that we don't fall away, that we don't grow lukewarm or cold. But something else that's been on my heart is what I want to talk to you guys today about. And I'm so sorry, I just had you all sit down. But if you'd like to stand for the reading of the word, we're going to go to John 6, 3 through 13. And if you all just want to shout at me when you get there, an amen or something. All right. So John 6, 3 says, and Jesus went up into a mountain, and there sat with his disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip then answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew Simon, Peter's brother, saith unto him, there is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? And Jesus said, make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number, about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed unto the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes, as much as they would. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments that they remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore, they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. And if you guys just want to pray with me real quick. Jesus, I thank you for this opportunity, Lord. I pray that you would speak to our hearts, God, that we be strengthened, that we be challenged, and that we be encouraged today, Lord. Help me to communicate, Lord, what you've laid upon my heart, Lord. We give you the glory and the honor in Jesus' name. We thank you, Jesus. Amen. Y'all may be seated. So this isn't anything that we don't usually go to. We go to the scripture a lot, but kind of hit me this summer. And I was just reading through it, and I was like, you know, I've heard this all my life. And then it just kind of, like, struck something in me. And I was reading it about how great the need was. You know, they're sitting there, and these are 5,000 men, and they don't really have anything. They have 200 penny worth. And his disciples are saying, you know, this isn't even going to buy just, like, a little bit for everyone. And so they're probably, in my flesh, I'm thinking, I would take that 200 penny worth and be like, Jesus, let's go get some lunch, you know, send them away, let them go and eat. But he doesn't do that. And he says, you know, we're gonna do what we have. And it says in the text that he knew himself what he would do. He already knew it. And he was asking his disciples, you know, what are we gonna do? Where's it gonna come from? And they don't know. They're like, we don't have anything. And then one of his disciples is saying, you know, there is a lad who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. And you know, y'all know the story. Like, what is this? This is nothing. But God knew. And it amazes me. You know, we look at that and we know what's going to happen. We're like, oh, he's going to divide it among the multitude. They're all going to eat, the end. But they didn't know that. The disciples had no clue what was going to happen. And they trusted Jesus, you know, and they took these baskets, and I have my little basket today. They took them, and they were empty. They didn't have anything in them. And Jesus took and blessed what they had. He just blessed what they had and gave thanks for it. And all of a sudden, it started filling these baskets. And what God laid on my heart is that he's not scared of your empty basket. You know, we come and we feel a call of God. I know who I'm preaching to today. We all have felt the call of God, but I'm just gonna be really vulnerable today. I look and I see a need in this world, and sometimes I feel so inadequate because what do I have? Lord, I feel a call in my life, but I don't really know how it's gonna reach this world. How is what I have supposed to help these people? And this summer, I was a nanny. You guys can laugh at the pun, but I was working for this agency, and they would text you whenever they had an opportunity and just be like, come, and it was really good money, so I was all on it. And they asked me to go to a wedding venue. I was like, all right. And I apologize for those of you guys who have told this story to already, but I was to go to a wedding venue, and it was going to be really good money and just watch some kids like during the wedding and the reception and make sure they don't get in the way, and it was all going to be good. So I went down to the Loop, for those of you who are from St. Louis or know anything about it. It's like a liberal part of town, but it's good sometimes during the day. And I went down there, and I pulled up, and I was like, oh, no, like they sent me the wrong information. This is not a wedding. But I was like, I guess there could be kids somewhere. And I'm telling you guys, like, I didn't even know things like this existed. There was makeup like I had never seen before, but it was just this real attitude behind it, like women with shaved heads, men in skirts, like just whatever you can imagine, it was worse. And I was like, okay, maybe this is not right at all, because there's no way there's kids here. And so I'm like looking all around, and I'm like terrified and just kind of like holding my head down and walking down and seeing where I'm supposed to go. And I'm asking all these people, and some I couldn't tell, like, are you a man? Are you a woman? And I'm asking, you know, I'm from, and I gave the name of the agency, like, where am I supposed to go? And then finally someone knew who I was, and I was like, oh my word, there are kids here. And they were like, yeah, like, you're for the wedding. And I was like, oh, okay, yeah, for the wedding, there's a wedding. And I got down, and there were just the cutest kids ever. But it struck me really hard because I'm not trying to get too graphic or like vulgar or anything, but just the atmosphere that we were in was so heavy and was so hard, and it was really cool. There was actually another Pentecostal woman that got sent from the same agency with me, so we were together, and that helped a lot. But it was so heavy, and all day I just felt like I was fighting something, and that it was just so tough. And I was like babysitting these kids, and finally, it was all day. It was the wedding, the reception, and finally I was getting ready to leave, and I was like, oh, thank God, like this is going to be lifted. And I was just holding these little kids, and I realized that they don't know anything different. I'm going to get to go home. And I got to go home, and I got to leave, and the next day was Sunday, and I got to go to church. And I got to see, like, the glory of God and feel his presence and know his word and know the truth. But they're going home to that same environment that I was so excited to leave. And, you know, when you're put in those situations, you feel inadequate, or at least I do, because how are these people going to be reached? Because those people, maybe they knew truth at one time, maybe they knew something, but these kids have grown up in this. Like, I know at 1 year old, they're exposed to this, and the little kids were, like, dancing to the music and just didn't know anything else. And at that time, I felt like I had a very empty basket with nothing to give them. And the thing is, though, is God isn't scared of it. He knows. He knows what he's going to do, and he's called you for a purpose, and that's why you're here. So whatever he's called you for, pray about it. Seek him. Grow here, because don't take this time for granted. Sometimes we get here, and I'm guilty of it, and I get so overwhelmed. But God has a purpose in every class, in everything, and it's not just for here. So get involved while you're here, and I'm not trying to, like, ride on anyone or, like, punch you in the face today, but get involved while you're here, because ministry is now. It's been said so many times already this year, but ministry is now, and it starts now. And the Bible is filled with people that feel inadequate. In Jeremiah, we see him, God's like, before I formed you, I knew you. And before I formed you, like, I had a plan for you. I ordained you. And Jeremiah's like, no, not me, not me. I can't. Like, I'm too young. And whatever the excuse is, I can't. Like, Lord, I don't have a loud enough voice. I don't have the talents you want me to do. I can't sing. I can't play piano. Whatever the excuse is, God knows. He knows everything about you. And he's still called you. And that, I don't know, that does something for me. He knows all of my shortcomings. He knows every failure. He knows every mistake that I've made. But yet, he wants me, and he's desired to let me come and to let me show people this way. And that is so beautiful to me. And I get a little excited about that when I see that I know everything that I've done. I know everything that I've failed in. But he still comes to me and asks me, come on, will you do this with me? Will you come and will you be a part of this? And I get to choose if I'm going to be or if I'm not going to be, if I'm going to trust him or if I'm not going to trust him. And I look back into our text and I think about when he's telling the disciples, you know, make all of them sit down. Like, I want you to go and make everyone sit down. And they have to be thinking, like, if they're sitting down, they're prepared for something. You know, you don't sit down unless you're getting prepared for something, and we're going to prepare them to eat. And they're probably like, why? We have nothing, but they have so much because they have the Lord, and there's something in them that knew that. There's something in them that trusted them, and there's something in each and every one of us today that even when we feel inadequate, when we don't feel like we have enough, we're here, we're sitting here, and we know that it's able to make a difference. And in the book of Samuel, when it's talking about David, he was also inadequate. You know, he had to have felt that at times because all of his brothers were, like, chosen before him. He was going down, Eli was going down the line. I'm sorry, not Eli, but Samuel was going down the line and trying to choose the brother to anoint. And God was like, nope, nope, nope. And then the one that wasn't even in the house That's the one. So I don't know why I felt this so strongly, but I feel really like I am just talking to someone today that, you know, it doesn't matter what you feel like because God knows what you feel like. And it doesn't matter how little you think you have or even how much you think you have, because at the end of the day, it's the Lord that supplies it, and it's only what the Lord supplies that makes the difference. And it's only what he speaks through you that is eternal, and what he gives to you that is eternal. And what you give to other people, it's not going to matter unless it's from him. And, you know, it says in the text that, you know, we don't have enough to give them a little bit, but then what God gave would seem so meager, it filled all of them. And it says 5,000 men, but we don't really know how many people were there because they're women and they're children, but it counts the 5,000 men. And that's incredible. And so then we see that God's able to do it, and we know that God's able to do it. But it says that he blessed it. And God doesn't bless anything that's not given to him. He can't. And so when we hold back what we have and what we know that we're to give to God, he can't bless it. He can't do anything with it. And we can take it. I'm going to come down where I'm seeing you guys. We can take it and hold on to it and just kind of be like, you know, I'm going to keep it because I can do this with it, and I can. And it could be a success, but it's not going to last. And I don't want anything that won't last. I want what's eternal, and I want what's going to bless others. Because I found this way, and I have struggled in this way. We all struggle, and we've all made mistakes. But he comes, and when we bring what we have, and we just lay it before him and say, you know what, God, you can do whatever you want with it. I don't need it. I trust in you, and I know that you're going to make a way. And we might be called to something. Some of us might know exactly where we're called to, and some of us might not have a clue. We just know that we have a call of God on our lives. And I'm in your shoes right now, and it's scary sometimes because we look on ourselves, and we see that I don't know how it's going to happen. I don't know how I'm going to go overseas. I don't know how I'm going to just plant a church. Like, what is that? How am I going to get the money? How am I going to reach these people in this city? You know? And I don't see it happening, God. I don't see what I'm praying for being fulfilled right now. But it's in his time, and he has a way, and he has a plan. And when we hold back things from him, he can't do anything with it. And when we take it and we... when you hold back something and when you want to do it your way, it can't be what it's supposed to be. When we take what God has made pure and what God has made clean, and when we mar it with our own ideas, with our own things, with the things of this world, it will never be blessed. And when we come against our neighbor, and we come against those that we're supposed to be uplifting and that we're supposed to be walking on this way with, we tear down everything that God wants to build, and we start building our own things. And I'm really not trying to talk against you guys. I love you. But when we come and when our authorities tell us, you know, let's do it this way because it's what the Bible says, you know, and it's what's going to keep you safe, and it's where we're drawing the line, and it's where we're putting up the fence. And when we start tearing that down, God can't use it. And he doesn't want to use it because it's not what he has designed, and it's not in his way. And when we take things and we make them their own, I've seen it happen a lot in my life. When we take things and we make it our own, and we start going down a different path than the one that we've been living, you know, and when we've been living right and we've been living good, and we're like, oh yeah, I'm doing really good, and I feel great, but I'm gonna go just a little bit this way because that seems pretty cool too. You're not just gonna go a little bit, but it's a completely different path that you've just stepped onto, and you are in a way that cannot be blessed. You are in a way that cannot be fruitful, and you are in a way that cannot be multiplied. And we've always heard that, you know, holiness is not the only thing to go. When you go away from holiness and when you go away from the things that are in this world or in this book, you go towards the things that are in this world. Things start to go with it, doctrine and the big stuff, because you just think it's a little thing, but it's not. There's a reason that we have it. And I was talking to someone the other night of how someone that has been struggling so long and has been backslidden and just far into this world came back to the Lord and got renewed and restored. And all of a sudden, everything started convicting her. As soon as she got her heart right, everything was convicting her. And so I feel like that's the flip side, you know, when things aren't convicting us and when we don't worry about it, everything else starts changing too, you know. The inside and the outside, they go together. And when we have it all right and we can walk in the narrow way and we can walk in the narrow path, we can get others and say, come on, let's go. Let's go. We don't do it this way, because this is what the Word of God says. It's not my way, but it's His way. And when we start walking into our own way, we don't have God to lean on. We don't have His Word to lean on, because it's ourself and it's our flesh, and it's not good, and it cannot be fruitful. And in Romans 12:1-2, it says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And that is so beautiful to me. When you go and when you give your life to Him, you know, and I was reading in a commentary and it said a living sacrifice. It means that it's continual. It's not something that's dead, but it's living. It's alive. It's every day. You decide to lay aside what you have and to go ahead and trust in the God that can provide, the God that can meet all the needs. Wherever He's called you, He's got you, and He's going to do the work, but you have to stay close to Him. It's not something that you're like, oh, God has called me here. I'm here. I can do whatever I want, whether it's Bible college, whether it's 10 years from now, whether it's 3 weeks from now. We can't feel like we've gotten to a place where He's multiplied and where He's done it all and we're good, because we're not good. Until He comes back or until our last day, we have to continually walk with Him. We have to continually be a living sacrifice. Someone that is totally sold out to Him. Someone in their words, in their ways, in their doings, everything. It says, for we have this treasure hidden in earthen vessels. You know, we have this. We can't explain it all the time. We can't even describe it when we're in His presence. But we know what we know, and we can share what we know, and we can share this word, and it is beautiful, and it really changes lives. And when you go and when you see that happen, it gives you a hunger and a want to do it. And oh, I thank you, Jesus. When we watch lives be transformed and we watch people that are so bound by whatever they're bound by, whether it be addiction, whether it be their mind, or whether it be by other people in this world just abusing them and coming against them. And when we see them just walk into the presence of the Lord and be totally transformed, you know, it doesn't happen by my own way and it doesn't happen by my might, but it happens by His Spirit. And when we are sold out and when we are totally for Him, things start to happen and things start to change. And when we've had nothing, we see Him come and we see Him fill it and fill people, and it is beautiful. Hallelujah, Jesus. And thank you, God. Oh, thank you, Jesus. When we went, a group of us went this past week to Rock Island, Illinois. And it is a wonderful trip. I encourage anyone that has the opportunity to go before they're done here. And when you're talking about a need, that city is filled with needs. It's filled with so many different ethnicities. And just, you can just kind of feel the ugh when you go into that town, just like the oppression and the poverty and just what they're facing every day. And you just kind of feel it when you drive in. You know, you feel different things when you go different places. And Brother Brown is just a man who has totally given it to God. You know, whatever God's going to do, he's going to do it. And he's built this church off of a clothing drive. He's meeting the physical need, but it's all to get to the spiritual need. And I think that's so cool. But we were in the tent because we were doing a tent revival there. And just so many different people at that church and what they've been through and how their lives have just been transformed. It's really amazing where they've came from and even what they face now, but how God's like changed the situation and their perspective on it and has totally like redone that situation. And we were at the tent revival and we were just watching people. It's my second time there, and I watched someone my first year that I was on it just totally be transformed. He got baptized, and he didn't receive the Holy Ghost while I was there, but you could just see it on him and see him just like in the presence of God. And that did something to me, and I was like, I want to go back again. And we got there, and there was this little boy who totally just surrendered to God while we were there, and he was filled with the Holy Ghost, and he was baptized, and that's so awesome. He was so little and so chubby and cute, but he was totally surrendered to God in whatever environment he's in and whatever that city has. Like, he's totally God's, you know, and he's got his name on his life, and it's different. And then our last day there, I watched this woman walk into the tent, and you could just tell she kind of has had a rough life. And her daughter were there, and they had walked up. They were kind of sitting towards the front, and they walked there, and they had their hands together, and they were lifted, but they were very reserved. And I don't believe that they had ever been there before. And they were just standing there, but you could really feel just the presence of the Lord moving, and you could see that, you know, something's about to change, even though they might not know it right now. Something's about to change. And I watched her as you just saw her go into the presence of the Lord and just that spirit come upon her. And her whole countenance just started to change. You know, and that's so beautiful. And she just, everything that she had and whatever she's been through, she just gave it to the Lord. And God filled her with the gift of the Holy Ghost that day. And when you see things like that, you know that I can't do that. You know, there's nothing that I can do, but I can surrender to God's will and watch him do that. Because if I try and coordinate something like that, we're watching it happen in the world and in different movements, them trying to just build something on their own and building their own things. And Brother Mooney talks about it all the time, teaching children and just things that should never happen that aren't in the Word, and watching people's lives stay the same or go a lot worse. But when we give it to the Lord, and when we take even what we don't have, and when we just bring it to him and say that I know that you can supply, because I know that you've brought me out and that you've called me for a reason, and so I give it to you, things change and things happen. And it's not always easy. It's not really ever easy when I feel like I don't have anything, to just be like, God, I give you it all, because I don't even feel like I have anything to give. But he takes that, and he makes it, and he molds it into something great. And just like I was trying to talk about a little earlier about David, he took him. He was just a shepherd boy, you know. He didn't have really any great calling, and sometimes knowing the Bible and knowing, like, growing up and hearing about David all of our lives, we like automatically skip to the end in our mind, and we're like, oh yeah, like, he was a great mighty man, awesome king, we love David. But we never really think too hard on the process and what it was like just sitting with the sheep all the time. And he loved the sheep, you know, and he kept them. But if I'm just keeping sheep and I'm sitting there, and then I'm told that, like, I've been anointed for all these things. How does that connect, God? Like, how do I see? I can't see that. And we're like, well, reading it, sometimes we're like, well, David, you're going to do this. You've got it. God's got you. But he didn't necessarily always feel that way. And he was broken so many times. Even when things started to happen in his life, things were pulled out from underneath him. And things like that happen to us. And we can be so quick to be discouraged, or we can give it to God and know that he's molding something and know that he's making something. In our brokenness, in our emptiness, he's proving us and he's refining us and he's making us into something that we could never be without this process. And when we see the emptiness and when we can give him that, that's when things change. And that's when we see things start to happen. And, you know, sin is funny because it can look very alluring. And sometimes our emptiness doesn't look alluring at all. It doesn't look fun. The process doesn't seem fun. It doesn't seem like it's going anywhere sometimes. And sin just has like this little drawing in, you know, of, come here, it's shiny, like, ooh, shiny. But I was reading this story. It's a true story. It happened in the Civil War, and it really just immediately made me think of what happens to us when we start to lose our focus. And it was in the end of the Civil War when everything was, like, going just downhill for the Confederate Army. And it amazes me. I don't know if y'all like history, but I love history. And General Lee would not give up. Like, give up. It is over, dude. But he kept going, and he kept pushing his men. And I was thinking, reading this story, I was like, I could not be a soldier of General Lee because I would have been so like, we have lost. We're done. Let's go home. I want to go, like, eat. I want to go sleep. But he pushed his men, and his men believed in what they were fighting for, so they went with him. And some went away, but some stayed with him. And they were promised that there were victuals and food waiting for them, but it was about 40 miles away, and they had to walk there, and it was like winter/spring, so it was cold. And they didn't have any shoes, and some of, like, boots, most of them were worn through, and if they had any, they were from dead soldiers. And their clothes were torn and tattered and battered, but they walked 40 miles for this promise of food. And they were just thinking the whole time that they were marching, we are going to get some good eating, you know. We are going to get it. We are going to win this war. It is all on this promise, and it's going to be the best. And it was like some good stuff. It was supposed to be like crates full, like from top to bottom of the train. And it's going to be wonderful. So they did it. They walked 40 miles, and it was just so many hours of, like, the book said that they were falling asleep, like, just minutes at a time because they were so malnourished and just exhausted. But they were like, we've got to go. We've got to keep going because it just, can you imagine? And they got there. And when they opened up after 40 miles of walking with no shoes, with gross coats and just no good, in the mud, in the rain, just ugh. And they finally get there. It's empty of food. And there's shells and ammunition, but it's not what they ever expected. And they're way dirtier than they ever would have been. And they're more broken and more tired than they ever would have been. And I thought that, you know, sometimes that's like sin. We could have just surrendered to the right side. We could have just given in to the Lord. They could have given in. They could have surrendered. They could have had like a shower that night and gotten some actual food. But they were like, you know what? No, we have this idea of what it's going to be if we keep walking down this path. And, you know, we have to get a little dirty and it's going to be a little muddy. But no, you don't know what's promised for us. And it was empty. And that's how sin is sometimes. We have this way that we could be walking, but we go the other way because, you know, that that sounds real good. And we don't have to give in to any other way. We don't have to go to any other path that's not our own. And, you know, I'm just going to keep walking my 40 miles because, yeah, it's a long way and it's farther than I anticipated to go. And I'm going to have to get dirty doing it. But, you know, I can go my own way. But it's empty. At the end of the day, it's empty. And when we walk away from the Lord and when we don't want to fully go into his way and we don't fully want to go into his presence, and, you know, I'm going to have both. I'm going to do both. You can't. It's two different paths. It might start where you're just one foot here and one foot there, but they don't stay close together at all. And it ends up so battered and bruised, and you can't even recognize yourself. And the people that you could reach, they are out there right now, and they are broken. And we have this truth. You know, we learn about it every day, and I'm so thankful for it. I am so thankful for it, and I'm thankful for all of you guys, because I come here, and I'm just blown away by all the talent that is in this room and by all, like, the love of you guys. Are just, I've never been around so many people that are so, like, loving and giving and wonderful, and y'all know truth and believe in truth, and I want to see each and every one of you do exactly what God's called you to do. But I just want to encourage you guys and challenge you guys to keep going and to not give in, because the world, it's getting crazy, you know, and it really is, but God's word is still true, amen? And it still changes lives. I've just watched it change a life. And my mom, I know a lot of you know, but, like, God just changed her life, you know? And we've been watching, Charlie mentioned the nursing home. We've been watching lives get changed, Charlie. And we just watch. And all that you have to do is preach this truth. You don't preach anything more. You don't preach anything less. But you keep believing it. And preaching, you don't have to stand behind a pulpit. You know, you don't have to stand in front of 1,000 people. You don't have to stand in front of 10 people. It can be in a Bible study with just one person. You can change a soul, one soul at a time. It doesn't have to be a 50,000 soul revival. You don't have, and that is wonderful. And it is great to baptize so many people in a day. But if you can just change one life, if God has called you to one soul, then go save that soul. Go win that soul. Be diligent. Do not let the enemy whisper in your ear that you are less than what God has called you for and that that basket is going to stay empty, because it's not. When you give it to the Lord and when you surrender to him, he has everything, everything that you need and so much more. And it says that they had to go and the remnants, it filled the baskets. The remnants filled it. The leftovers. God will supply you with so much more than you ever need. So much more than will ever fill them. You can't even, it's just overflowing. And that's what my God does. That's who I serve. And when you go and when you just preach that word, you will see it overflowing. And the music can go ahead and come. I'm finishing up. But I just really want to encourage you guys to not feel like it's going to be empty forever. It may feel empty right now, but God is doing a work, and I believe it so strongly. I feel something different this year, and we're about to come into reality week, and we have what every person out there needs, and y'all can stand if you'd like. I'm coming to a close really quick, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels. You know, we have it. And if we don't share it, that is truly our bad, because we can see a life changed. And sometimes we look at these lives and how can I change them? I can't. That's just the end of it. I cannot change their life. But what I know and who I know, he can definitely change their life, and he definitely wants to. And he's called you. He wants to use you. And he has appointed you. And we can't feel less than that. And I know some of us are against things. People didn't want us to come here. People don't want us to be in this truth. And you know, you're always going to run into that. But He who created the ones that don't even want you to be here. He created you. He called you. And I wonder if we can, whoever wants to come up can come up, but just pray that we see ourselves through God's eyes, that we see what He wants to do. Because it's not time to get discouraged. It's not time to throw it in. And I know sometimes it feels empty, but when we give it to Him, He truly comes in and fills everything that needs to be filled. He changes lives, and He wants to use us today. He desires to use you. He desires to work through you. He desires to see a life changed, and He's called you to come and to reach them.
Come on, why don't we just surrender our life to Him right now? Somebody walked in here and you have a basket and you feel that you have nothing to offer. I've got nothing to give. Reality week, I've got nothing to pour out. Oh, but if you could just take your time. If you could take time, maybe that's what God wants to bless and multiply. If you could take passion, if you could take a love for a lost soul, if you could take a burden for somebody that's in a horrible situation, a door that you knock on and you see little kids that are dirty and broken and hurt. If you could just take that and say, God, I give you everything inside of me. I believe that God can break and multiply. And I believe that there will be an abundance of your ministry that will come forth. Come on, today's the day. Why don't we surrender all? God, make me sensitive to other needs. Make me willing to go that extra mile in service and dedication and commitment. Give me a passion for lost souls. And Lord, let me never forget that there's a world out there that is lost and dying and on their way to hell. And I've got an answer. I've got a word from you. That word simply made me repent and be baptized in Jesus' name for the remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. But that's my word, God, that I'm going to give forth. It may not be much in my basket, but Lord, I know that you can multiply. I know you can take that simple thing and change a life and make a difference. Come on, that's it. Come on, somebody say, Lord, I want to be willing. God, I want to be used by you. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, yes. Come on, you mean it, you mean it.
thanks again for joining us today, wherever you are. If you find this episode or another episode of the podcast of particular interest and would like to hear more, please let us know by emailing podcast@go2ibc.com or by dropping us a line on Facebook. August and September both saw the highest amount of downloads in the history of our little podcast here, and we know that you are to blame for that, of course, in the most kind way possible. Your shares and subscribes have not gone unnoticed, and we say thank you. Indiana Bible College's spring semester is a great time to be here as a student. You get to be a part of IBC Live, Connect, and Theology Conference, all happening this spring semester. For more information, visit indianabiblecollege.org/admissions to learn how you can join the IBC family in January, but you need to do it by November 16th, the application cutoff. Indiana Bible College has three major courses of study: Biblical Studies, Worship Studies, and our newest major, Missiology. For more information about these, visit indianabiblecollege.org. Indiana Bible College, training tomorrow's apostolic leaders today.